the supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So, bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely, Thou art the all-forgiving, the all-compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of the Almighty Allah. So welcome, dear brothers and sisters. Salamun alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear Muslims, on a special day, on this episode of today's special. Today is the birthday anniversary of Shia's seventh Imam, Imam Kazim, peace be upon him. Congratulations to all dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters. Eid Sa'id. Today is Saturday, it's the 20th of Zilhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of July, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we offer our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of one of the infallible Imams of Shia Islam, Imam Kazim. Peace be upon him.
فرحتنا بلقاكم طيبين والسعادة بالأحبة وهم معانا عايدون يا عساهم عايدين.
Let's know a little about birth of Imam Kazim, peace be upon him. Imam Musa bin Ja'far was born in a village located midway between Mecca and Medina. His father was the sixth Imam whose knowledge and fiqh prevailed worldwide. Imam As-Sadiq was the Imam that Abu Hanifa referred to saying, "I have never seen a faqih, a jurist so knowledgeable as Ja'far ibn Muhammad." Old references mention that Abu Hanifa asked him when he was still a child, "To whom should committing a sin be attributed?" Imam replied offhandedly, "A sin should be either from man, from his Lord, or from both. If it were from Allah, it is evident that Allah is fair enough not to bring man to account for a deed that he did not commit. If it were committed by both, then Allah is the partner. In this case, the strongest partner should be fair for the weaker one. Finally, if it were committed by man alone, then he is responsible for it. To him warning not to do, it was addressed, and for his deed, reward or punishment is deserved, and paradise or the hell shall be the fate." Ladies and gentlemen, we offer our congratulations to all Shia Muslims on the birthday anniversary of Imam Musa Kazim, peace be upon him. Happy Eid. Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin Astain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the moral traits of the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far, salamullah alayhi. It's indicated that the seventh infallible Imam, Musa ibn Ja'far, salamullah alayhi, was the most pious of all people in his time. From midnight up to dawn, he was constantly busy with performing prayers, supplementary prayers. And he was very much zealous in performing prayers, salats, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such that he turned into a very thin person, physically speaking. There's an account that Ma'mun, the Abbasid Caliph, indicated that once he was sitting together with his father Harun, who was an Abbasid caliph also, and he noticed that an old man came in, and he was very pale, and that old man was very pale and very thin. It was evident that too much concentration on performing prayers made him in that way. Later on, Ma'mun Abbasi understood that that old man was none but the seventh infallible Imam, Muslim Ja'far, salamullah alayhi. It's indicated by the late Sheikh al-Mufid. Sheikh al-Mufid was a great Shia scholar and authority in his lifetime. He indicated that the seventh infallible Imam Muslim Ja'far salamullah alayhi was the most pious, the most generous, and the most impressive personality of his lifetime. And At night time, Imam Muslim Ja'far Salamullah Alayhi used to go to the homes of the needy people in order to provide them with food, with whatever foodstuff they would need. And at the same time, he wasn't such a personality that to like to be known as a pious person. I mean, it means that the religious piety of Imam Muslim Ja'far Salamullah Alayhi was also really exemplary. Thank you.
Children are wearing new clothes, bright colors fill the streets, their faces full of laughter, their pockets full of sweets. Let us rejoice indeed, this is the day of Eid. Let us rejoice indeed, for this is the day of Eid.
Imam Kazem's moral virtues. Imam Musa was the most religious of the men, the most knowledgeable in law, the most generous and the noblest in spirit. Imam Kazem alayhi salam used to pray supererogatory prayers throughout the night so that he would make them extend until the morning prayer, then continue them until the sun rose. He would remaining prostrating himself before Allah without raising his head from prayer and praising Allah until the sun came near to descending from its midday zenith. Another example is that at the beginning of the night, he entered the mosque of his grandfather, Allah's messenger, prostrated himself before Allah and said, "How great sin is with me. Therefore, let forgiveness seem good to me, O worthy of reverential fear, O worthy to forgive." The Imam used to recite this dua, "O Allah, I ask you ease at death and to forgive me on the day of reckoning." He was the kindness of men to his family and his kin. He used to search out the poor of Medina during the night and take them a basket in which was money, flour and dates. He would take that to them without them knowing in any way that it was from him. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio on one of the best occasion in Shia Islam, and birthday anniversary of Imam Kazem alayhi salam. Congratulations to all dear Muslim brothers and sisters.
Let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on, let's celebrate. عيد سعيد, let's enjoy this happy day. عيد مبارك, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
It's a good time to listen to some sayings of Imam Kazem, peace be upon him. He said, addressing Hisham bin Hakam, who was his companion and a student, the Imam said, "O Hisham, the pleasure of this life are just like water sea. The more a thirsty man drinks from it, the thirstier he becomes. O Hisham, Allah has against the people two hujjas, two evidences that cannot be argued against. One is apparent and the other is concealed. The apparent one is the messengers, prophets, and imams he designated, while the concealed one is represented by the gifts of minds. O Hisham, the life of this world was once embodied to Prophet Jesus in form of a man of blue complexion. He asked her, 'How many people have you been married to before?' She replied, 'So many.' 'And everybody divorced you?' asked the Christ. 'No, but I killed everybody.' Prophet Jesus, the Christ, peace be upon him, said, 'Bow to your potential husbands. Why shouldn't they take the former husband as examples?'"
We have narrations where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he named all of the imams and he gave them their titles. He gave them their description. So one of the names, that, for example, Imam Sadiq, the title Sadiq was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The title of Kadhim was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Al-Kadhim means the one who controls his anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the mu'mineen, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Those who control their anger, control their feelings, their emotions, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, one of his titles is Al-Kadhim. Another title is Babu al-Hawa'ij, the door to the needs. If people have needs, you go to the grave of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. You ask Allah by the position, by the glory, by the grace of this great Imam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your du'as. This is why not only the Shias in Baghdad, the grave of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far is in Baghdad, he and Imam al-Jawad, his grandson. Baghdad has always been a city of Sunnis and Shias and people from different sects. But they all revere and respect Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. This was not something that is now, you see it now. And this is also something that you saw earlier, 1,000 years ago, when the Imam was first buried there. And the Imams of the Ahl Bayt, they would insist on their followers to go and visit the grave of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. And others, for example, Imam Shafi'i. The Shafi'i Imam, he has a famous statement. He says, "Inna qabr Musa ibn Ja'far tiryaqun mujarrab li'ijabat al-du'a." He says the grave of Musa ibn Ja'far is a medicine that has been, that we have seen results from it for the du'a to be answered. What does this mean? This means that you go and you ask Allah by the position, by the glory of Al-Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the du'a for the position of these great individuals.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us till the end of this episode of today's special on a special occasion. That is birthday anniversary of Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. We offer our congratulations to all dear Shia Muslim brothers and sisters. Till another today's special on IRIB English Radio, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
We're here on this special day. Our hearts are full of pleasure. A day that brings the two of you close together. We're gathered here to celebrate a moment you'll always treasure. We ask Allah to make your love last forever. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And with one voice, let's all say, say, say.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and if you're ready, here is some food for thought for you from the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. When some blessings come your way, do not drive them away through thanklessness.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Firstly, we would like to send our congratulations, our felicitations to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, to the Shia and to all Muslims throughout the world on this, the birth of Bab al-Hawa'ij, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Bab al-Hawa'ij, through this gate of our desires, of requests, that the one request that we have is the reappearance of Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman, and for us to be of those who are with the Imam, are granted to us on this being the birth of Imam al-Kathim alayhi salam, and for us to be of those who are able to visit the Imam and his grandson Imam Jawad alayhi salam in the city of Kazamiyah, which is in Baghdad, Iraq, or on the outskirts of Baghdad, Iraq, in safety, in harmony, and, you know, without any further stress that we get when we get there. So what is important to understand that on this day of the birth of the Imam, we will mention a beautiful tradition from the Imam. And the Imam in this tradition indicates that who is the strongest person. And obviously we need to understand here that the Imam is not going to say the strongest person is he who can pick up 500 kilograms. No, this is not what the Imam means. An Imam will obviously not say that. So the tradition is this. The Imam alayhi salam is reported to have said that whoever wishes, or he who wishes to be the strongest amongst people. So if you wish to be the strongest amongst people, the Imam does not say go to the gym. You know, as we may assume for us and from our view, go to the gym, have protein shakes. No, obviously not.
So the Imam then continues and says that whoever wishes to be the strongest amongst people must put their trust or tawakkul completely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because when a person does tawakkul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-qadir. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. And therefore, when you are leaning and you have given everything to the most powerful, whose power is infinite, obviously will be the strongest. There's no other power that can come over that power. That can become more superior over that power. So when you attach yourself to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if one of his names and attributes is the most powerful, then obviously you will be the most powerful person. You will have the most powerful support. You will need nothing else because you are completely absorbed in that power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can shake you. And we see this in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, in terms of the believers, in terms of those who have this type of tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what can shake them? Nothing can shake them because they have trust in something that is infinite. They have complete trust in that. And it's not just words. You know, we say words, we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is not words. This is a connection, something that is deep, something that is presential. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to truly attain this type of tawakkul in Him. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on the blessed days of Ramadan, month of Allah. I hope that your acts of worship are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by a Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're listening to Let's Recite the Quran. It's an honor and pleasure to be with you as always.
Thank you, brother. Dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is the spring of Quran. And as you know, during Ramadan, almost all Muslims try to recite the Noble Quran, and they try to finish recitation of at least one juz every day. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam says, the reward of recitation of one verse of the Noble Quran in the month of Ramadan is equal to recitation of the whole Quran. And of course, listening to Quran recitation has got a lot of rewards. In the program Let's Recite the Quran, each day we are going to listen to recitation of a few verses of a specific juz. But before it, we're going to talk a little about the surahs or chapters included in that juz and the rewards of those who recite those surahs. After recitation, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about some tajweed points of the recited verses. Beside these segments, we have some other interesting Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you. So, dear audience, stay tuned. Dear audience, today, on the fifth day of the blessed month of Ramadan, we are going to listen to the recitation of a few verses of a surah included in Juz 5 of the Noble Quran. Juz 5 actually includes the middle part of Surah An-Nisa only. As you know, it is the fourth surah of the Noble Quran, and its name means women, and it was revealed in Medina. Juz 5 begins with 24th verse of Surah An-Nisa and ends in verse number 147.
Okay, dear brothers and sisters, before we go ahead and listen to the recitation, let's talk about Surah An-Nisa, the reward that you get from reciting this verse, and also the benefits and uses of reciting this surah.
Good idea.
And, you know, every surah has certain rewards if you recite it, or it has certain uses, some benefits for you. For example, Surah An-Nas, if you recite this surah, you will be safe from dangers and the temptations of the Satan. If you recite Surah Al-Hamd, it will cure your diseases.
Yes.
Okay. Of course, you have to have belief that, you have to believe that this surah will do that, will do just that, will cure your illness, or it will keep you safe from dangers.
Be faithful, so those who are faithful.
Yeah, that's right. It's been narrated from Imam Sadiq, the sixth Imam, peace be upon him, that whoever recites this surah,
Surah An-Nisa,
it's as if they have given charity to someone who is an heir, who is to inherit something. And it is as though they have freed a slave, and that person will be clear from polytheism. These are the rewards that will be given to the person who recites this surah. We have another narration from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam, that whoever recites this surah on Friday, they will be safe from the pressure of the grave.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of verse 24 of Surah An-Nisa in Juz 5.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. والمحصنات من النساء إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم كتاب الله عليكم وأحل لكم ما وراء ذلكم أن تبتغوا بأموالكم محصنين غير مسافحين فما استمتعتم به منهن فآتوهن أجورهن فريضة ولا جناح عليكم فيما تراضيتم به من بعد الفريضة إن الله كان عليما حكيما
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verse 24 of Surah An-Nisa in Juz 5 of the Holy Quran. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful verse.
Okay, this recitation was by Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil Al-Husari. He is one of the best tajweeds among reciters of the Quran. especially among Egyptians, because, you know, Egyptians are some of the best reciters in the world of Islam, especially with respect to the live recitations where they recite the Quran before a live audience.
Yes.
But their tartil is also very good. Okay? Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari has recited the whole Quran several times in different ways. The Hafs an Asim has been recited by him several times in different ways, with different speeds, with different maqams.
Mm-hmm.
And also the tahqiq style has been recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari. And of course, he has recited the whole Quran in other riwayas of other qira'as.
You mean apart from tahqiq and tartil?
Tartil. The tartil of other riwayas.
Okay.
Okay. And his tajweed is very good, like I said. Let's begin with the word al-muhsanat. We have a sa. The sa' is pronounced with tafkhim. It's a seen with tafkhim. You should not try to make a whistling sound by some pronouncing muhsanat.
That is wrong.
That's incorrect, because you're changing the position of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the position of the tongue is the same for both seen and sought. I mean the tip of the tongue. Of course, the root of the tongue and the back of the tongue is raised, but the tip of the tongue is the same, the place of articulation for seen and sought.
In other words, the place of articulation is the same, but the manner of articulation differs.
Yes, we could say that. But of course, the tongue also has another shape. When
that is
say
the manner, you know.
The whole tongue is downward. It's not raised. But when you say saw.
So this is the manner, the way the tongue changes.
Yeah, that's the manner of articulation. Okay. Minan nisa'i. This is matul muttasil. One thing that could be said about the recitation of Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari is that other than his good tajweed, his fasaha is very good. He doesn't say minan nisa illa ma malak. This is not good fasaha. Minan nisa illa ma malakat aymanukum. See, if you say kitab Allahi alaykum, this is not good.
Yeah, the pronunciation of fatha.
The fatha has to be a.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be a.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
Like Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari pronounces the fatha.
And as you said, madul muttasil means conjunct mad.
Yes, madul muttasil is the conjunct mad, which means that the long vowel and the cause of the long vowel are both in the same word. Just like the word nisa, we have a aliful mad followed by a hamza, and they're both in the same word. Malakat aymanukum. Malakat aymanukum. The ta is pronounced very well by Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al-Husayr. We hear the place of articulation of ta, the sound of ta. Even
and
though
still,
it's sakin, without qalqala.
Yeah, and still it doesn't have qalqala.
If you say malakat aymanukum,
that is not good.
Like some reciters, they don't pronounce the ta clearly. We don't hear the clicking sound of ta. Malakat aymanukum. And of course, it has to be a soft ta without aspiration.
Mm-hmm.
If you say malakat aymanukum, this
is not Arabic.
This is not Arabic, and well, we don't want this. Antabtaghu. We had ikhfa of nun sakina.
The letter ta is a letter of ikhfa.
Antabtaghu. Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari approximates the place of articulation of ta. He doesn't place the tongue in the place of articulation of ta. He doesn't say antabtaghu. Some reciters, they do this sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they place the tongue or other articulator in the place of articulation of the letter of ikhfa. They shouldn't do this. That's incorrect.
Apart, I think, except for letter of kaf and qaf.
That's right. Fariḍa, taraḍaytum. These are all law, law. Actually, lād. They are lāds, and you have to pronounce it with istitāla. We have to have a lengthening of the sound of lād from the very back of the tongue to the tip of the tongue.
To have that soft sound.
Yes, it has to have a soft sound, and also the timing, which is really important. It has to be longer than, for example, a dal.
That is actually
explosive. If you say fariḍa, fariḍa, we didn't have the istitala.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. Stay tuned. Dear audience, that was the final part of the program Let's Recite the Quran on the auspicious days of the month of Ramadan, the spring of the Noble Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Don't forget to pray for us. May Allah bless you. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب
التي تنزل النقام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام.
In this beautiful supplication, dear listeners, up to now, the supplicant has stated different kinds of sins, and the supplicant has asked for forgiveness. First, he said, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام. Then he added, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النتم. Those kinds of sins which bring down adversities. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعم. O Allah, forgive me the sins which alter the blessings. So these are the kinds of sins the true Muslim must be aware of. The most important of which are oppressing people, losing the good habits, abandoning good deeds, and being ungrateful. Since in the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, abandoning gratefulness is also mentioned as one of the other sins that change or alter the blessings of the Almighty Allah, we'll talk about it more in this program. Being thankful for the blessings Almighty Allah has granted a human being is a necessity, because the Almighty Allah has granted all the blessings and has bestowed humankind so that they may develop physically and mentally. So abandoning it is against humanity. Abandoning gratefulness is against justice. Gratitude is indeed acknowledging the provider. It is acknowledging the blessings he has had. And the real gratitude, of course, is not by the tongue. The real gratitude is spending the blessings in the way which he himself has ordered. Gratitude for the blessing of being provided with a heart is adorning it with the belief and faith in Allah. Belief in the prophets and the a'immah, also the Holy Quran, the day of resurrection, and whatever the prophets have invited to. Gratitude for the blessings of the eyes is looking at the nature, but not just looking for having fun, looking at the nature to discover Almighty Allah's might, using the eyes for gaining knowledge, reciting Quran, and keeping them from unlawful scenes. These are the real meaning of gratefulness.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation. And I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
So if we have a different look around ourselves, we'll see so many things that we must be grateful for for the Almighty Allah. Our ears, for example, gratitude for this blessing of ears, is hearing the truth, keeping the ears from hearing falsehood, unlawful music and sounds, or backbiting, slandering, and the other things. Also, the tongue itself has a different aspect of being thankful. Being thankful for this blessing of the tongue is through uttering fine speech, answering fine questions, guiding the people who are misled, reciting the Quran, reciting the different prayers and supplication, using the tongue to talk to the Almighty Allah, and keep it away from lying and backbiting, keeping the tongue away from ungrounded rumors and belittling Almighty Allah's servants. So every kind of blessing has its own specific kind of gratitude. For example, the blessing of the stomach. Of course, eating lawful food and avoiding from unlawful stuff is the real and true meaning of being thankful. And we are not just talking about the visible things, the powers the Almighty Allah has set in us. Being thankful for the blessing of lust means that it should be used in lawful marriage. It should be prevented from unlawful relationships. Being thankful for the blessings of our feet, it means that they should be used in going to the holy places like the mosques, circles of knowledge. They should be used in visiting relatives and religious brothers. They should be used to solve people's problems. Gratitude for the blessing of wealth is spending it for one's wife and children, poor relatives, charity and zakat, khums, and giving of the alms. And dear listeners, evading any of these examples is a sin in thankfulness, and it will alter Almighty Allah's blessings into chastisement and calamity. May the Almighty Allah place us among the real grateful ones. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
شما در این قرن معجزه کردید. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر. خمینی رهبر.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World. This is a program dedicated to the memory of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And I'm your host for this program, Ijaz Hussain. Of course, I have my good friend Dr. Mahdi Tarabi. I want to say salam to him. He's an academic and an Islamic scholar who's given us great insight on various aspects of the character and personality of the Imam. And I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program, first of all.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. This program is basically being inspired by something that you said last week in the previous program, which is Islam is a complete package. I think those words are very deep, very profound. And it's true, because there is a riwayat I want to mention here from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, who said that in the end times, nothing will be left of Islam except its name. Nothing will remain of the Quran except the cover. Mosques will be full, but there'll be no guidance in them. I think that says a lot about the 21st century, this kind of cafeteria-type Muslim, right? It's very serious. I think there's a crisis there, and I'd like your take on it, sir, immediately.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What I said was that, when we're talking about Imam, is that he insisted on having the Islam as the complete package that it is.
Exactly.
Not, you know, canceling things out for various reasons, whether it was the issue of Islamic punishments, hudud and qisas, as it came to
absolutely
criminal offenses, which is what some people were trying to do after the revolution, even who people who were Muslim and who prayed and who...
Because it said it wasn't modern.
Because, well, they actually had a more specific reason. They said it's against the charter of human, you know, UN Charter on Human Rights. And, you know, he just said anybody who says that is a kafir. End of the story.
End of the story.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so basically what I'm trying to say and what I think is important is that, you know, when you want to be Muslim, again, this is not about implementing it all yourself to 100% and all.
No, that's not what we're talking about here.
It is about implementation. So Islam is not just about, you know, knowing the rules or just knowing the aqaid. It's actually implementing Islam in your life.
Yes.
You know, to the extent that you are capable in terms of who you are in society and your position and your capabilities and your level of knowledge and so on.
If you have faith in something, it has to have a manifestation.
So we talked about how there's a big difference between somebody who acknowledges all of Islam the way it is in the Quran and the way it is in the Sunnah, but says that certain parts of it, I don't have the power to do it.
Exactly.
Versus somebody who outright denies certain parts of Islam, even accepting other parts of it. Or who says La ilaha illallah and, you know, says the Shahadatain and yet, you know, denies things like, well, you know, we really don't have prayers five times. You know, just, you know, every now and then during the day, you know, chill out and think about God, that's enough. So, yeah, I mean, we were talking about the fact that, you know, Islam is a package deal.
Exactly.
And this is important, okay? Don't deny it.
Exactly.
As a package deal. It doesn't mean you have to implement all of it yourself in your personal life as an individual or that you have the capability of doing it. That's not what we're saying. We're saying don't deny it as a package deal.
Well, this is why, you know, we have this facility, if you like, within Islam to have the complete package, which is your oath of allegiance, isn't there? Because this bayah is not simply about, oh, you know, just for the sake of saying, well, you know, I acknowledge you as a leader or something to that effect, because in Islam it means something entirely different. This is a manifestation of your belief,
right?
So that you're covered, you're basically covered,
right?
You know, it's like, I, you know, in terms of law, you know, I don't have the Latin, but
right,
yeah, you know exactly what I'm referring to. So, you know, this is what we're saying here.